Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today we will be starting off with an interview I have in the studio right now. A singer named Eddie Cherry, who will be talking about the story of the groups he sang with, and we'll be playing his records, so you should definitely keep tuned. So, first of all, thanks so much for coming down to the studio.
Thank you.
Okay, so can we talk about, are you originally from Chicago?
No, I'm from Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Okay, when did you move to Chicago?
1958.
Okay, and what part of Chicago did you move to?
The South Side.
Okay.
63rd and around Cottage Grove.
Okay. That's like the Hyde Park area?
Jackson Park.
Jackson Park?
Yes.
Okay. So, and how did you get started singing?
You know, me and a guy that I went to school with, we always wanted to sing, and we saw Lil Anthony and the Imperials on TV, and we decided that's what we wanted to do in life. Okay, so they had a song out called Shimmy Shimmy Coco Bop.
Okay.
That was the one that we learned how to sing on.
And so, how old were you when that happened?
19.
Okay, so were you older than Little Anthony at the time?
No, they were older than we were.
Okay.
So they were established.
So, and you and your friend, what was your friend's name?
Louis Young.
And were you in high school at the time, or you graduated?
Graduated from high school.
And how did you know him?
We graduated together from high school.
What school did you go to?
M.M. Tate in Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Okay, so did he move to Chicago at the same time you did?
He got here a little before I did.
Okay. So you and him, you started singing together in high school before you came to Chicago?
No.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, we decided that we were going to start a group. Neither one of us knew anything about singing. So we got a couple of other guys together, which made four of us. And we were in an apartment trying to sing. Then we heard a knock on the door. This guy from next door said, "Hey, look here, why are you keeping up all that noise? I'm trying to get some sleep." He said, "Look, you want me to teach you how to sing? I'll teach you how to sing. My name is Donald Porter. I sang with the Spaniards." He said, "If you want me to teach you how to sing, I'll teach you. I don't have anything to do in the next 3 months," he said. "So I'll work with you guys so we can all get some sleep."
So you just happened to be neighbors with one of the Spaniards?
Yes.
Was it in your apartment that you were practicing?
No, it was one of the other guys' apartment.
And so what were the names of the two other guys that came?
Napoleon Sanders and Herbert Dotson.
And was that in 58 or 59?
About 59.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of people I talked to up in here, they started singing when they were in high school, but you actually weren't interested until after high school?
That's right.
So you never even tried to sing before that?
No.
So what? And was it Little Anthony that inspired you to sing?
Yes.
You just got into that song?
Right.
Okay. So... So did you come up with so you were together in 59, the four guys,
right,
and one of the Spaniards kind of taught you how to sing?
For a little while. Then he had to leave town. He worked with us for about 4 months, 4 or 5 months. He had to leave town, and there we were left again. You know, it takes a long time to learn how to sing.
Okay.
Okay, so here we are making noise again. And the bass singer named Louis Young, he said, "I ran into a guy today. His name is Norman Palm. He said he sang with the Pastels. I'm going to try to get him to come to one of our rehearsals and teach us how to go further." And a couple of days later, he brought Norman Palm by there. And Norman Palm stuck with us because he said the Pastels wasn't doing anything. He'll work with us until the Pastels get something going. So they never to get anything else going. So Norma Plum ended up being our lead singer.
So the Pastels is the group that did the song Been So Long?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes, I think it was that.
So you actually broke up the Pastels?
Yeah. Well, we wanted Norman for our group.
So did you have a name for your group?
No, not at that time.
Okay. And was that around 59 still?
Yes. About the end of 59.
And so Norman started singing with you.
Yes.
So how did you end up sort of getting a name and a record deal? What was the story with that?
We were looking for a name, and we were looking through a newspaper. And we were looking at the movies, and, you know, there was a Commodore Theater, the Crystal Theater. We said, hey, Crystal, that sounds okay. And then we put Fabulous on the beginning, the Fabulous Crystals.
Okay.
And the Norma, he taught us everything that we knew about singing because he was really good. He could sing all parts, and he a very good lead singer, too.
Was he older than you, or were you about the same
about
age?
About the same age.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So so originally there were five guys together, is that right?
Yes.
And then Norman kind of tutored you, and you ultimately ended up cutting a record called Left Front Row.
Yes.
So what was the story? How did you get a record deal, or what was the record label it was on?
Delano Records. Okay, how did that start? It was we got a manager. His name was Delano Banks.
Okay.
John Delano Banks, and it was his company.
Where did you meet the manager? Was it through Norman?
Yes, it was through Norman.
And were you guys doing shows or still just singing in the apartment?
Singing in the apartment.
Okay.
Yeah, and what Norman did, you know, he taught us everything that we knew about singing, and we rehearsed for about 2 years before we did anything, and we got good to the place that we was going to record. And we had two songs that Delano Banks was interested in. One was called Ring-a-Ring-a-Doo, and the flip side was Left Front Row.
Okay.
Ring-a-Ring-a-Doo was supposed to be the one that they put out, but as it turned out, they liked Left Front Row the best. That was the one I was leading.
Okay. Uh-huh. So that record came out, you said, in 60 or 61?
It came out about 61.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you had been together for 2 years,
yeah.
And were there still five guys on that record?
No. You know, in a group, guys come and go.
Okay.
Some people have a voice for high. I'll come and work with you guys for a little while, but if you don't get nothing going right away, I'm going to move on.
Okay.
Okay, so one guy left, and that left us with four. We were in Jackson Park one day singing to a group of people that had gathered around. And there was a young lady joined the crowd. And she said, let me sing with you guys. I can sing. And she said, I used to sing soprano in church. I said, okay, let me hear you sing. So she did a little song. And we said, hey, look, four guys and a girl, we're going to try that.
Okay.
She started singing with the group. Didn't miss no rehearsals, nothing like that, you know. So anytime you don't miss no rehearsals, we latch on to you.
So that was a unique kind of thing, because there were groups that had, like Gladys and the Pips, that had a girl with guys backing, but she was just part of your harmony, right?
Yeah.
So that was unusual at the time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So let me play the record so people know what we're talking about and we can talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So this is the record that ended up being released on Delano Records in 1961.
Yes.
And this track is called Left Front Row.
Oh,
Okay, that was just the Fabulous Crystals with the one record they released called Left Front Row. And I have in here singer Eddie Cherry, who sings lead on that record, telling his story. So you sing lead. Who are the names of the other people singing on the record, and what parts do they sing?
Okay, there was Louis Young on bass, Herbert Dodson baritone, Laura Robinson was the first tenor, I was the second tenor, and Norma Palm was the regular lead singer.
Okay, and he sings lead on the other side.
Yes.
And one thing I said incorrect before was Norman Palms was in the Pastels, but it wasn't the Pastels. It had been so long. They did a song called Put Your Arms Around Me. So the previous DJ just came in and corrected me on that. So that record came out, we were saying, in 61. Do you remember, like, what the deal, if it got any play on the radio?
Left Front Row?
Yeah.
I never did hear it over the radio.
Okay. Do you know what, did the record label just not do promotion, pretty much?
Right, yeah. I think they went broke.
Okay.
Right, you know, after we recorded the song. And they said they wouldn't be able to put it out any longer. It did get some airplay.
Okay.
But not that much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did the group stay together?
Yes, stayed together.
So did you guys start doing shows, or what was the story?
Yes. Okay. They had a talent show at Madonna Temple.
Okay.
Okay. Whoever won the first prize would be on the show at Madonna Temple. It was called the Brenda Lee Twist Show.
Was it a TV show? Or a,
No.
Was it a weekly show, or when was it?
No. Brenda Lee, the country,
okay.
The country singer.
Okay.
She had a show at the Madonna Temple. And there were other people on the show.
Like, was it one?
Solomon Burke, the Rafferman son, Johnny Crawford.
Okay. So a lot of pop groups and a big R&B star like Solomon. Uh-huh. So it was a one-time show. It was a contest to appear on this one-time show?
Yes. It was a week. They were there for about a week.
Okay.
The show went on for a week.
So when was the contest? In 61? Was that when the contest was?
That was about 62.
Mm. And you guys won the contest?
Right.
And you were on the show with these big stars?
Yes.
That must have been exciting.
Oh, it was.
So at the time, I'm assuming you were working at the time.
Yes.
Were you trying to do music full time at that point? Like, did you think that was your big break, was that show?
Yeah, we thought that was a big break. Matter of fact, we met another manager named John Drew.
Okay.
He managed us. And he introduced us to a booking agent named Jack Bartell. And I remember our first gig was in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay.
And we went there during the Twist, nothing but Twist songs.
So what was the, so they took you on tour, was it just your group on tour?
Just our group, yeah.
And I know the Twist was one of the dances that broke with black and white audiences.
Yeah.
So were you touring for what, like white teenagers pretty much?
White adults, young adults.
Okay.
But we were doing nightclubs. There were nightclubs.
So there were nightclubs, and you would do a whole, like an hour show of just Twist songs?
Yes. Uh-huh. And we had audience participation.
And you guys were twisting on stage also, right?
Well, we sang during the Twist, yeah.
And what year was that, like 62 or 63?
Yeah, about 62, 63, somewhere. Yeah.
How long did you tour doing Twist, on your Twist tour?
We did this for about 5 months. Matter of fact, it was the reason that we stopped, a member dropped out of the group, one of the members. Matter of fact, the girl, she dropped out of the group.
Why did she, just to go on with her own life, pretty much?
Yes.
Okay. And so you guys stopped that tour?
Yes.
And did you tour mainly the Midwest at that time?
Yeah, the Midwest. Uh-huh.
And was it almost all for white audiences?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you said they were at nightclubs, but they weren't like there were nightclubs where people got up and did the Twist in front of you for like an hour?
Yeah. Yep. So that was, after that, I got a job working, and I ran into a guy named Bob Pittman.
So, wait, how long was the group together? Did you break up in 63, around that point?
About 64.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you break up immediately after the woman left?
No. We tried other singers, but we just couldn't get that sound anymore.
Did you do any shows after she left, like local clubs or anything like that?
No.
Okay. No. So you said, so then the group totally broke up and you were on your own for a while?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you were saying just now you ran into someone else?
Yeah, Bob Pittman.
When was that?
This was about 64, 63, the last part of 63 and 64, somewhere in there.
And so you wanted to. So what was the deal? You started singing with him.
Yeah, he was from a gospel group. He wanted to start a group because he found out that I used to sing. He said, "Hey, look, we can start a group." He was with. He could sing gospel. He was singing with a group called the Gospel Paraders.
Okay.
Yeah. So we got together. Me and him got together, and we got a couple of other guys to sing with us.
And who were the other guys?
Bob Pittman, Lewis Hill, and another guy named Tyrone Simmons.
Okay. Yeah. And how did you know Bob? Did he live around you? Were you still south?
No, we worked together.
Okay.
Yeah, we worked on the same job together for a while.
Where were you working at the time?
Yes. Where?
Yeah.
It was let's see, I think it was the Chicago Dial Company.
What did they do?
Make television screens, oven glasses,
okay.
Oven windows or glass, you know, oven glass, yeah.
So they worked with glass pretty much?
Yeah.
And how you met Lewis Hill and Tyrone Simmons?
Yeah. They were from the church that Bob Pittman used to sing for.
Okay.
Yeah, and he brought them in. So we had a little group called the Fads.
So was that, who came up with that name?
Bob Pittman.
So in 64, the group formed with four members.
Yes.
And you called yourselves the Fads.
Yes.
Did you guys just practice for a while, or did you also do shows?
No, we didn't do any shows. We practiced for a while. Then we got on this record label. They liked a couple of our songs, and they wanted to record them. And that was Just Like a Woman.
Okay.
And My Problem Is.
What record label was that?
Mercury.
Okay. And they released it, I know, on Mercury Records, and I think it was supposed to come out. There was a sub-label of Mercury called Blue Rock, but
okay.
I don't think they ever released it on Blue Rock. But for some reason, it was supposed to come out on that label.
Yeah.
So do you remember what year it came out?
No. Maybe about 64, 64.
I think it's a little. I think it came out later, like 67 or 68.
Okay.
So the group was together for a while before the record came out, I think. Does that sound right?
Right, okay, yeah.
Okay, well, let me play Just Like a Woman, and we could talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So this is the Fads with Just Like a Woman.
Okay, that was just the Fads with their track called Just Like a Woman. If you're just tuning in, I have a singer from the Fads, Eddie Cherry, who is telling his story. So that record came out, I think, 67, around that year. And who were the people singing on the record?
Me, Bob Pittman, and Lewis Hill.
And who sings the lead on that record?
Bob Pittman.
And the other side is a track called The Problem Is. Uh-huh. Does Bob also sing lead on that?
Yes.
And I think on that track you have you have writing credits, too. You're
yes.
one of the writers.
Yes, I was.
Is that one of the first songs you wrote, or had you been writing for a while, too?
It was one of the first ones I wrote.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How'd you get into songwriting, or was it just something you started doing at the time?
Trying to come up with something that would sell.
Okay. So did that record get any play?
Not in Chicago. I think it got some play in another town. Ohio, I think.
Okay.
They put it out in Ohio. I'm not sure it was Ohio, though, but it came out.
Okay. Yeah. And so did you sign you had signed a contract with Mercury Records at the time?
Uh-huh.
Do you know how you got with Mercury Records?
Not really. I don't know how we got there, but I think Bob Pittman knew somebody that worked at Mercury Record at this record company, and he got an appointment, and he said, "Come on in." Gave us a day to come in. We came in, and they liked our material.
So you just auditioned for them, pretty much?
Yeah.
And did you cut only those two songs at Mercury? Do you remember cutting anything else that was unreleased?
No, that's about it.
Okay.
On Mercury, yeah.
Do you remember where you recorded that?
It was on the north side, at a studio over there on the north side. I can't remember the street.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they pretty much released that one song, and Mercury didn't want to release anything else on you.
Yeah.
And then did you go to any other record labels, or what was the story with that?
No. After we did that recording, you know, after you record a song, then you stop rehearsing. You'd be waiting for the song to come out.
Okay.
And you keep waiting and waiting, and it don't ever come out, so you look for something else to do.
Okay.
And we ran into T.C. Lee.
Okay.
And he was by himself, and he was looking for a group to back him up.
Okay. And how did you know T.C.?
Once again, through Bob Pittman.
Okay.
He knew a lot of singers.
And I know he had sang a little bit with the Kingpins also. Was he just like a? I know he was. I heard he was like a promoter. Was he like a promoter, or was he a solo singer at the time?
No, he wasn't a solo. He was doing a lot of promotion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to cut a record on himself, and he needed a backing group.
Yeah.
So, what's the story? Where you ended up recording with him?
T.C. Lee, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I know they released the record as T.C. Lee and the Bricklayers.
Right.
So
who were the Bricklayers?
Who came up with that name?
I think T.C. Lee did.
So
it was his show. We said, okay, hey, we'll be the Bricklayers.
And that actually came out on King Records, the label that James Brown was on,
uh-huh.
which is based in Cincinnati. How'd you end up on King Records?
We went to Cincinnati.
Okay.
To record those songs.
And uh-huh. Do you remember when that was, like late 60s sometime?
It was, maybe 69 or 70, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And you went to Cincinnati, and did you all drive up together, pretty much?
Yes, we did.
And he cut a record. It was Up and Down the Hill and Get Away From Here.
Right.
And they, do you remember, how long were you in Cincinnati recording it?
Over the weekend.
Okay. So you just drove up for the weekend, recorded
right.
it, and left.
Uh-huh.
You don't know have any idea how he got with King Records or anything like that?
No, I don't. But T.C. Lee's manager, he was the one that drove us to Cincinnati.
Do you remember
Lee's manager?
Do you remember who his manager was?
No.
Okay. Yeah. And did you sign a contract with anybody, or he was just took you along to sing, pretty much?
Just took us along to sing, pretty much.
So was it his idea to have you guys as part of his act, or he just wanted to put out this record?
We wanted to be part of his act. Because, you know, what if the record had to took off real big?
Okay.
You know, and then, hey, we wanted to be in on it. So he let us say, okay, look, you guys can come in on it.
Okay.
And we'll be a group.
So you are officially a group for a second, T.C.
Yeah.
Lee and the Bricklayers.
Yes.
So let me play the record, and we can talk a little bit more. So this came out on King Records, and this track is called Up and Down the Hill. Okay, that was just T.C. Lee and the Bricklayers with Up and Down the Hill. If you were just tuning in, I have member of the Bricklayers and the Fads, Eddie Cherry, up in here telling his story. So that record, did it get any, do you know if it got any play in Chicago or in Ohio or anywhere like that?
It got play in Ohio.
Okay. And I was just thinking that probably the way that it got on King Records was T.C. Lee sang with the Kingpins also, who were on Federal, a division of King Records.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you pretty much never heard it in Chicago or anything like that.
No.
So, did the Fads or the Bricklayers ever do any shows?
No.
Okay.
No, we never get that far.
So you're pretty much exclusively a studio group just trying to get a hit record.
Right. But with the Fabulous Crystals, we did shows.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
And one thing is, the Fads, for a second before you were the Bricklayers and after you were with Mercury, you were on another record label, is that right? Were you with St. Lawrence?
Yeah, St. Lawrence. Yeah.
Okay. What was the story with that?
You know what? I never did understand that part of it.
Okay.
You know, we recorded on St. Lawrence, and the record came out on Mercury.
Oh, you're saying the Mercury record was actually recorded in the St. Lawrence studios?
No. No. The St. Lawrence was the company that we were in. And I see where the Fads are on Mercury on the chart.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened there.
So you think you were signed to St. Lawrence or just used their studio? You don't know what...
I think maybe we used their studio.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, So you're saying that Fads Just Like a Woman was recorded at the St. Lawrence studio?
Yes.
And while you were at St. Lawrence, were you were going to record some other songs too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were going to record You Lost, I Won. But the Ideals heard that, and the Ideals wanted to record that.
And they were actually on St. Lawrence Records at the time?
Yeah.
So they were just kind of hanging out in the studio?
Yeah. They had a big hit out, too, Gorilla.
Yeah.
And they were looking for some other material, and they'd asked us, could they have that one? We said, sure, you could have it.
So you let them have your song?
Yeah.
But you have writing credits on the Ideals record, You Lost
Yes.
and I Won.
Uh-huh.
And which is a good song. It's one of the songs that I think they got some play on that record.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's too bad that you didn't get play on your record. But they had play on the record they took from you.
Yeah.
So were you mad when they got to play and you didn't?
No. I was looking for the royalties.
So the Fads were the Fads for a few years, and then they became the T.C. Lee and the Bricklayers.
Right.
Did you go back to being the Fads, or what happened after that?
No, we drifted apart. Drifted apart.
So the last thing the group did was the King record, Up and Down the Hill.
Yes.
So do you remember what any of the other singers did, if any of them went on to do music or be with other groups? Because I was showing you I have a record by Bobby and Walter on the Sands label that's written by Bob Pittman, but you're saying you don't think he's the Bobby and Bobby and Walter?
No, I don't. No.
But you knew he worked at that label?
Yes, he worked there. Yeah.
Did you know if he did any other music stuff besides working at that label?
No. You know, we lost contact with each other.
Okay.
Yeah. And I went my way, he went his way, and I haven't saw him since.
And
not even bumped into him nowhere. No.
And one thing I didn't ask is, I think there's not four members on the records. There were three members on the Fads record.
Right.
What were the three members? Oh, I did ask because I asked who was singing lead and who sang backup.
Right. Okay.
Do you remember what happened to Lewis Hill?
No, I don't know what happened to him.
And did you ever do any music stuff after the Bricklayers broke up?
No, that was the end of it. That was the end of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, decided to leave music at that point because
right,
you've been doing
yeah.
it long enough?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then a job came along. I grabbed over to a job. You know, I started concentrating on my work.
Okay. Uh-huh. And you pretty much never sang since then?
No, never did.
Okay, well, either way, thanks so much for coming up and telling your story.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece of both Chicago doo-wop and soul history. So,
okay.
And I don't know if you know this, but there's a lot of like record collectors out there who really, you know, look for your records. Some of them are pretty valuable now. So at least you put something down, some music down that people won't forget, even though it was like a small piece of your life in you know, the 50s and 60s. It's
right.
interesting that
yeah.
people now are still looking for it.
Right.
Okay, well, do you have any last words for the audience?
Yes. Don't give up too quick. Just keep going. I want to say Happy New Year to my grandchildren. Happy New Year, Ariel. Happy New Year, Ari. And Happy New Year, Little Nick.
Okay, well, thanks again for coming down.
Okay, you're welcome.
So this last record that I'm going to play is the B-side of... I could play either The Problem Is or Get Away From Here. Which track would you prefer?
Get Away From Here.
Okay, this is Get Away From Here.
I can hear you.